From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
Two and one.
Oh yeah!
You are a toy! I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we're going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average, today, tonight is Monday, June 29th, 2009. I wrote it down this week.
Good man. And this is show 046. We may or may not post this show sooner or later. For all I know, by the time we post it, might be Wednesday or so. We are finally switching the long threatened switch over to new hosting service, and we just want to make sure everything is stable and all that before we go posting this and updating this. Or may not be Monday night by the time this hits the netterwebs.
It'll completely suck if something so massively huge happens, like, in the next 24 hours. Like, not that we're all topical.
But yeah.
Something that would just be too big, and they'd be like, wait a second, didn't they know that, like, Houston was blown up, you know? I'm going to feel horrible if Houston blows up tomorrow.
Yeah, that'd be great if you called that one. Yeah. That'd be all ironic. Just like Alanis sings about.
What?
I'm taking my chances here tonight, Storm.
Well, what?
I'm doing another podcast with my feet up.
Oh noes!
I know. It could go. It generally makes me more misanthropic, but
no, it's good. The cranky Paul. Well, that's not cranky, but the it gives you an edge. That's good.
The edgy Paul. I'm just. But the other problem is, at a certain point, the blood circulation to my lower right calf is going to be completely cut off, and I'm either going to have to make a lot of noise shifting around, or I'm going to have to amputate. We'll see how that goes, depending on how long the show is. Anyway, cover the old business real quick.
184 minions in the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Only 16 slots left in the Disciples of Lore. Poochie Corner, who's talking about us? Yeah, you know, really at this point, go to Twitter and you'll find out about that. We do have news and other news coming up, maybe, you know, could happen.
Nice and specific. I love it.
Yeah. Well, you know, you don't want to spill beans. If you have beans, you know, we could have beans.
Or especially if you haven't bought the beans yet. If you got the beans on layaway, you really don't want to spill them.
Right. Don't spill the layaway beans. And that's my first bid at the title.
That's an early front runner, my friend.
Yeah, it was a naked attempt. Well, let's skip right on to the fresh. We also have a whole bunch of Twitter suggestions. Really quality stuff.
Yep.
Do you want to hear the notes, what I did take?
Sure.
Half an hour before we got
on
here.
Sure.
All right, we have Skinny Storm meets Juicy Lucy. We have String and Dixie Cups, Toddlin, and Please Don't Go.
Let's do String and Dixie Cups.
String and Dixie Cups.
Or Dipsy Cups, depending on how I pronounce it. Yeah, go ahead.
We'll go with Dipsy, because it does refer to, like, when you're a kid, and you would have your Dixie Cups or tin cans.
And weren't we referring to Satan Cola as Dipsy Cola? On the last podcast, wasn't that it?
Was it Dipsy? I have such a short memory.
Dropsy, that's what it was.
Dropsy. Dropsy Cola.
Dipsy and Dropsy, of course, being the famous pair from that grim fairy tale.
Where they were the two dwarves that were left out of Snow White.
Yes.
Because they couldn't behave themselves.
Yeah, and they weren't particularly memorable.
No, they just kind of stood there talking at each other for 5 to 10 minutes. So, when you were a kid, I don't know, maybe you did this, or maybe you weren't forced to do this, you would do the telephone thing where you could pull tight a string attached on either end to a receptacle cup of some sort, and you could talk through this and hear something.
Yes, I used to do that all the time when I was a member of the He-Man Women Haters Club with the rest of our gang.
That's right, and the No Homers Club.
Yes.
So that of course, refers to communications and being childhood pals who had bedrooms that were right across from each other next door and communicating. Anyway, Paul and I, as you may know at this point, we're not actually in the same room recording this. We're doing this from a distance and rely on telephone technology. In this case, not cell phone technology, but we have cell phone technology, and we have been considering upgrading our cell phone technology.
Yes.
And for a while, we were thinking, or Paul was thinking, it was going to be sooner than later. So I think this is a good opportunity. We'd like to give you kind of a peek behind the curtain of how we operate, how we think, and we'll try not to be boring with it.
Sure.
But the iPhone has really, for both of us, jumped up as the leading contender in the next gadget sweepstakes.
Yep.
I like what's happening with the Android platform. I really do. And, you know, the nothing's decided really quite yet. But I don't know. The iPhone just seems to have its shit together.
Yeah. It's just cool.
Now, what precipitated this, and this really, you know, I got this secondhand, was, I guess, a technology failure in your household.
Yeah, actually, I had fully been expecting to wait probably another year, or, you know, to wait out and see what Apple did as far as staying with AT&T or not.
Yeah.
And then the other day, my wife turned to me and said, I need a new phone, because she has actually the same exact phone you have, Storm.
Yeah, the old Razor.
The old Razor. And she is on her second battery, which is in the you have to charge it three times a day phase.
Yes. Oh, they're horrible for battery life. Horrible.
Yeah. And we talk technology a ton in my house. I knew my wife knew of the iPhone and was familiar with it and such. You know, it wasn't some strange magical thing, but I didn't know that she had been looking at it as seriously as she had. And she was trying to, and you also have to understand, my wife and I, both being youngest children, are both spoiled and enablers.
Now, was she throwing, did she have it down to the point where she was throwing the lingo around?
Not too much, actually. But it was, you know, she was saying, you know, I want an iPhone. And I went, really?
That's very
Scooby-Doo-like. Yeah. And then I sort of, you know, showed her around the demonstration stuff on the Apple website of the stuff that it can do, much of which she had not been familiar with, much of which she had. But, you know, every time you'd see some new cool, oh, wow, it can do this. Oh, man, this is so cool. And we started running numbers and trying to figure out if we could make it happen. And one decision I came to over the course of those couple of days, especially after talking with Jonathan Colton, speaking of enablers, was I realized that no matter which cell phone network you're talking about, you are always going to find people who love it to death and probably an equal number of people who despise it.
More true than others, but yes, I agree.
Obviously some more true than others, but, you know, as far as the really big networks, as far as issues of coverage, like where you can get reception, where you can't, how, and things like that, a lot of it is really just sort of depends who you talk to.
Yeah, and then where they live.
And where, exactly, where, yeah, well, that's sort of the underlying, you know, where they live, how thick the walls are in their house, you know, crap like that.
Like AT&T, you still can't get it in the D.C. Metro. Not that I ever take the D.C. Metro, but it'll be that one day when, you know, I want to be on Twitter, I have the most awesome thought, and I know I'm going to forget it, and I'll be in the Metro, guaranteed.
Yep.
Anyway.
Anyway, so I, you know, having talked to a few people I know who have the iPhone, they were happy enough with their service, at least, that I felt reasonably confident Also, after having looked at the coverage map to see that I should get at least nominal reception in my area, that I was willing to take the AT&T plunge if it came down to it. Long story short, after having, you know, flirted with it for some time, we realized we're on a, in my house, we're on a family plan. My wife and I and my oldest daughter has a phone. And it we're holding off until at least probably December, because until then it will just cost too much to break everybody's contract. At that point, it, you know, my phone and my wife's phone will have expired, so to speak. And we can justify at least that cost, I think, of jumping ship if it comes to it at that point. So we're just going to have to manage and make do with our outmoded technology. Until then, we're not going to be able to sit at the cool kids' lunch table and use apps.
Yeah, like, you know, like Foursquare or, you know, or Dingle Dongle or whatever it is that app people are using right now.
Yes. Oh, postscript to this story, before you get into your end of things, is on top of that, my youngest daughter, thanks to hoarding of her birthday monies and monies she has earned over the past however long, we went out this weekend because it was her money and she was allowed to do whatever she wanted with it.
Uh-huh.
She now owns an iPod Touch.
Oh, she rocks.
Yeah, I know. So now, not only do I not have an iPhone, but my youngest daughter, or younger daughter, I should say, since there's only two, now has this iPod Touch, and I get mocked at close range by all the cool stuff that I could have on my phone right now and don't.
That's stellar. That is just stellar.
But on top of that, I have been using it over the past several days to just test out various apps and games that I will want once I eventually get my iPhone. So it's kind of handy. It, you know, it's better than just sort of looking at it on a computer screen and wondering what it's like on the actual phone.
10-minute mark was a minute ago.
Yes. So now I have a feeling you have something to say about all of this.
Yeah, and I'm going to take it somewhere as well.
Yes.
So, of course, it's sort of the inside baseball thing is we're both on the Sprint network right now.
Yep.
In great part because if you're whatever network you're on, you get free minutes cell to cell. And of course, we spend a considerable amount of time calling each other.
Yes, we do.
So pretty much I knew when Paul said that Kim said that she wanted an iPhone, it was the writing on the wall that maybe it wouldn't mean iPhone, but for my own financial health, that it would probably be best to go to the AT&T network, which I hate the idea of. Cross my fingers for Verizon. Anyway, my wife is just one very gravy thin step away from being a Luddite. She gets along with technology. She has a truce with it. An armistice.
An uneasy truce.
Yeah, but she's never going to be cuddly with technology and get into apps. I'm sorry. It can be the cutest cat app in the world. Oh, I strike that. I'll probably find a cat app that will help me sell her on the idea of an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
But it ain't her scene. And as you've seen, Paul, and many of you out there probably know, if you have a family or multiple people on a plan, it's rather expensive to do the multiple thing with the iPhone. Like the pooled minutes is way out of proportion compared to like a regular family plan.
It's not too far off, at least in the plan we were looking at.
Anyway,
but
the point is, my wife would not utilize any of the whiz bang. Like she would want just the most basic phone.
Right.
So I've been looking both at, okay, how do I get the most economical way of doing this? Like, is it worth doing lower minutes or do you want the all you can eat so you can not sweat it anyway?
Right.
The answer is not. You've probably seen these commercials. Jitterbug. Have you seen that?
I don't know that I have.
All right. Maybe I'm watching old fogey commercials because that's what this product I think is being pitched at. It's basically a prepaid cell service.
Oh, okay.
But they talk about how, hey, and you can just call in and they'll put all the contact information for you. Hey, Mrs. Johnson, I've taken care of that for you. Oh, you're such a nice young man. Like, that's sort of who they're angling it towards.
Gotcha.
And I wouldn't get that for Gillian because she's not, you know,
86 years old.
Right. She's not. She's just not.
Yeah.
But it got me thinking. It got me thinking. What they've done, these folks are clever, and I think they're making money, at least enough money to keep playing this commercial during Rachel Maddow, that they have found a way of making technology like friendly and cuddly, not cuddly, they kind of pitch it as cuddly. It's got a catchy song and dancing and things and talking phones. They've made it safe and accessible and for Luddites, you know, for folks who just don't get along with technology.
People who don't want to deal with the scary numbers.
Right, like the video professor, I'll teach you how to do eBay, I promise. So I have, maybe this can be a regular thing, but Paul and Storm's $1 million idea. Right? Like the poutinerie was one of those.
Right.
Babies, whatever, monkey fries. So here's something else, another way. Digital cameras. They are not the most complicated things in the world. But neither are cell phones, really.
Yeah.
But and yet, if you can market a digital camera, and I think, you know, 65-70 might be the line at which people might have true difficulty more than most folks with digital cameras. So here's how you market it. It is a digital camera on a headband. All right?
Okay.
So that's where it starts, because, you know, elderly folks love to wear hats.
Yeah, I was just going to say, don't they love to wear headbands? They're always playing tennis with John McEnroe.
They are, and you see it all the time. And this camera is internet-enabled, though you don't tell them that. You don't tell them anything about how the technology works, but it is. And on the other end, there's like maybe in Iowa or India or wherever it's cheapest, you have a bunch of young, clean-cut people, men and women, who will take the pictures for the people. So
now, when you say take the pictures for the people, you mean they're monitoring a feed?
Yeah, yeah. So,
and they know when to take the actual picture?
Right. Like you would call using your Jitterbug phone, and maybe Jitterbug can offer this service, where they would tell the phone person, you know, Biff, okay, you know, Mrs. Johnson is going to visit the zoo with the grandkids between 5 and 9. So they would know to monitor the feed, and you would, you know, you would have a manual shutter, you know, because they don't want Big Brother and all that.
Right.
You know. And yeah, and then it takes all of the difficulty and pain and angst out of taking pictures, you know. You
just, so it's sort of like, it's like Peapod or one of those like shopping services.
Added value, yes.
Yeah, where they're like they're basically doing all of the work for you.
Nothing you can't do yourself, but yes, you provide that service.
I like this idea.
$1 million idea. We're not going to do it. We have other things we're doing. We're very busy people. But if there's someone out there with just a little bit of programming skill and enough money to buy some really cheap cameras and headbands, hey, just let us know and kick us some of the profits if you feel
like
it.
There you go.
All right. Let's move on.
Yes, let's.
Do you want to go to...
Let me look through some of the Twitter topics.
Yeah,
A very quick one I saw here, just to address this. This is not the first time somebody has asked about this. Hootie D has asked if we could provide an estimate on how many of our vast collection of women's undergarments have been worn, including by us.
I think the number's close to zero.
Very close to zero. We can't... For the most part, again, to catch up anyone who isn't overly familiar with our music, we have a song called Opening Band, in the middle of which we sing a line, you know, it's about the travails of being an opening band and getting no respect, and one of the lines in there is, as of today, no panties have been thrown, at which point people often take it upon themselves to throw panties at us during live performances. We have over 200... I don't even know the numbers, and I don't have the web in front of me. Well, I do, but I'm too lazy to look it up. But certainly over 200 pairs of underwear that we have been thrown at us, and we take pictures of them and post them in the gallery of thrown undergarments.
That's one of our more popular search terms that gets people to the website. It's
Lots of people looking for underpants on the web.
A little creepy.
Yeah, that and clown names, I find. We get a lot of people getting to assign clown names. But nonetheless, so Hootie D is asking how many of these have been worn. By us, I can tell you the answer is zero.
Zero.
Except for the occasional time we have put a pair on our heads in concert because we have no dignity or shame.
Right, but that's not like, you know, we said, eh, well, this pair is kind of nice. This one's going into circulation.
Yeah, basically, what gets done with the underpants is they come home with me, and I take them here into this room I'm recording in now, which is the spare bedroom, which doubles as my little recording studio and sort of office. And I put them on the floor one at a time and take a picture of them and then upload them to our Flickr site, and then I throw them out.
You know what? That's wasteful. And Gillian has been, she wants to get a sewing machine.
You going to make a quilt?
Yeah, I'm thinking we should make a quilt with those.
Underpants quilt.
Let me discuss this with Gillian. We don't have a sewing machine yet, but, you know, you need a lot of G-strings and thongs
to make
a quilt.
As a matter of fact, interestingly enough, the reason I bring this up is because I also, to kickstart myself, I'm looking, as we speak, at a bag of roughly 20 or 30 underpants that were thrown at us in Atlanta over a month ago, that I have not yet gotten around to taking pictures of. And I promise I will do that, Atlanteans who are listening and wondering where their panties are. But to close out, how do I put it delicately? It has seemed, on rare occasions, that a few pairs were not bought in a store and brought directly to the show.
Not quite
show.
As crisp as the others.
Yeah, that's a fair enough assessment.
We don't put them
That being said, I don't think anyone has ever whisked off the pair they were wearing and thrown them up on stage in a fit of whatever. I think they've all been clean, put them that way.
Yeah, we don't do a sniff test or anything, but you would know.
You'd know.
Let's.
So that was that one. Yeah. Another one that we very briefly spoke of that I would love to talk about. Tony Fro has asked about games played while on the road to shows.
We have a great game that we used to play with our old band, Da Vinci's Notebook.
Yes,
which. I don't know. I was saying wasteful about the panties.
Uh-huh.
This is more wasteful than that. Well, don't tell me biodegradable. Okay, we're skipping ahead.
I have no idea how we got into this, but we had a touring van. There was four of us, and we were in a van, which means lots of room.
I remember.
Okay, give a 30-second origin story.
Okay, so...
Because now I'm remembering and it's worth it.
Sometimes you do gigs and there will be a crudité or a cold cut plate. This was one such gig and there were far too many cold cuts. So we decided we would bring them on the road with us, thinking maybe we'll get hungry. But we had a long drive and for some reason we decided instead of eating them, we would throw them out the van at highway signs.
Yep.
That's how I remember it.
Yeah, I think you are right. And I remember that actually. We were driving into or out of Ohio. I do remember crossing the Ohio border.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we also had a loaf of bread.
Yes, bread.
Because at one point, Bernie was finding the best way to take slices and compress them into ball-like shapes and throw them.
That's right. We called him, he was like our munitions expert. We called him Bernie Bin Bernie,
yes.
This was well before 9/11, so it was not insensitive to do
That's
that.
That's right.
Well, it was still insensitive. But.
Yeah, but nonetheless, first of all, we discovered cold cuts just didn't throw well.
No, but fruit did.
Fruit sure as heck did. And from that point on got christened fruiting practice.
We got to the point where at the beginning of a road trip, we would pull up to Costco or Walmart,
Supercenter or whatever.
And we would buy like a case of clementines.
We would literally buy $50 to $60 worth of produce.
Yeah, anything. I think we tried just about everything in the produce aisle.
We refined this into such an art form. We tried all the different fruits and vegetables that were remotely throwable, I think. Yep.
And even some that weren't. We did broccoli.
We did, an eggplant was fun once. That one actually, that did not shatter. I threw that one in front of the van.
Yeah.
And it just bounced along a little bit. and never splattered the way I hoped it would. One of my favorites, we actually threw a couple of coconuts.
Yes, my favorite with the coconut. There was an art to it. Like, you learned what would crash a particular thing and what would not.
Mm-hmm.
And something like a coconut, that's pretty hard, even if you're going at a good speed. So generally, you're looking for an older style bridge, preferably like a stone railroad bridge.
Yeah, or like a concrete barrier.
That has a flat face, so as you're moving towards it, it's gonna strike flush.
Yeah.
And it just made a glorious sound.
Yes. But, we'd spend more money buying fruit to throw out the van windows than we would on food to eat in the van while driving. We'd refined it to the point our favorites, I think, clementine oranges in general, had the best weight to heft to splatter ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Certain types of tomatoes would work, although they were a little lighter.
Yeah.
We also at a certain point went and bought like a high quality slingshot, like a hunting slingshot, and then got a gross of gumballs.
That didn't work as well. It was kind of fun, but
yeah, it was exciting for a little bit, but it didn't have the same
watermelon
impact.
Watermelon wasn't as fun as I thought it would be.
Watermelon was a joy. That particular trip, I remember it very well, because it was for some reason I drove separately to this gig. It was in the Virginia, Northern Virginia area, far enough we had to drive and carpool to a degree. But I drove separately for whatever the hell reason. So I was driving behind you guys in the van, which had a sunroof, I have to point out. And at a certain point, I mean, I knew it was in there, so I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And I saw you stick your sunglassed face up out of the sunroof, mm-hmm. sort of look around, mm-hmm. judging. Oh, we would also do this when there was no other traffic around. We were never endangering other drivers. We were never throwing them at people or breakable things or homes or anything quote-unquote owned. It was always street signs.
It wasn't about doing damage. It was clearly... It was entirely about the splat factor,
which doesn't necessarily make it any more legal.
No,
but it was
juvenile.
Yeah, but it was certainly less misanthropic. So anyway, you stick your head out of the sunroof and sort of look around to make sure the coast was clear, and dip back down, and then you come up with this. It was a big watermelon.
It was a large watermelon
on your shoulder that you just sort of hefted backwards and to the side, and while it didn't explode.
Yeah.
It shattered, and all of the pieces, many of them quite large, sort of slid along, you know, at roughly the same speed as the van. And it was just, it's difficult to describe.
I guess that was the problem with the watermelon for me, is that I didn't have the benefit of actually experiencing the fallout.
Yes. You know what? I remember the even truer origin of fruiting. And that was, we had driven separately again to a show. This was, I think, in the Baltimore area, and stopped on the way back to get gas and got some butterscotch crimpets.
Yeah, that's right.
And well, I can't remember if I threw them at you guys or you threw them at me.
Yeah, there were three of us in one car, and Paul, you were in the other car.
Because I lived a lot closer to this gig than you guys, because you guys lived all in Northern Virginia, and I was in Maryland. That's why
we were
separate.
An escalating battle, and I remember...
And I remember there was a bag of Doritos that came at me at one point, but the true moment that made it turn into something else was, I think you were throwing crimpets at me, and you threw a crimpet, and it hit icing first and stuck on my
right
side
on the
window.
Windshield. Yeah.
Or on the windshield, and just stayed there. And that was when we realized we really had something.
Although, I want to brag a little bit.
Go ahead.
To me, my greatest achievement in all of the fruiting, and we all had many great achievements.
Yes.
Was flying down the highway. I think Richard was driving. We were doing maybe 75 or 80. And you know the little mile markers?
Oh, right. Yep. I totally remember this.
I determined that I was going to hit one with, I think it was either a clementine or a plum tomato.
Yeah.
And
the mile marker signs are, you certainly get the impression that they're like 4 or 5 inches by about 9 or 10 inches. They're not very big.
And you know how like in movies, if there's a sniper that, or like a sports scene where everything slows down,
mm-hmm.
and it's like you can see little drops of sweat and they're just clinging to the face before they drop. I swear time slowed down as I peeked my head out the window, cocked my arm back, let it fly, and it was just this beautiful arc. If you ever played Scorched Earth or the Worms games, like watching this beautiful arc and yep. just focusing in like some kind of James Bond fruity weapon and squack right in the middle.
Yeah, it was a hell of a shot. It was one of the best shots ever in the sport of fruiting, I have to say.
And we haven't done fruiting as the duo. I think you need at least three people to.
You need three people because one person at least has to be sitting in the back to be able to watch unimpeded because the driver can't concentrate 100% on watching the impact. And you also it helps a lot to have a full passenger van because there was a whole lot of room.
Right, you can
in the
have a
passenger seat well
stand.
And such. You know, you could. We tried it every so often in a van or in a car, and it's not quite the same.
Yep.
But that being said, we have a lot of great memories.
Well, it's I liked that.
We're already past the 30-minute mark.
Well, let's
holy
see.
Crudskies.
Let's do a Paul and Storm recommend then.
Okay.
Freckie. That asked, hey, you know, what are you reading? What are you into right now?
Mm-hmm.
And just going to be brief about it. Reading the last complete novel of John Scalzi's Agent to the Stars that, Paul, you've already finished.
Yes.
Because
it's the last one we had to read, put it that way.
Right.
Apparently he wrote it really early on as sort of a test novel to see if he could do it.
Yep.
And then he just put it away, never intending to let the public see it. And then he put it on his website and eventually just finally just came around and published it.
For the record, he can totally do it.
Yeah. Apparently he had some talent.
I've also, because we spend so much time in airports, I've been seeking epic big tome books.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two by Ken Follett, who usually writes sort of, I don't know, steamy-ish, weird spy novel type things. I don't know. I've never really read anything else of his.
Mm-hmm.
But these two books that go together, The Pillars of the Earth was the first one, and World Without, and the second. And it focuses around this fictional medieval English town that decides they are going to build a cathedral. And it's very... You get the technical stuff about cathedral building and how it happens and what the society was like then. And then nun sex, that's in there too in the second book.
Gotta love the nun sex.
And then I guess the third thing I'd point out, we were actually listening to on our last trip up to the North Country of New York and back, was Neil Gaiman, Fragile Things, on Books on Tape.
Yes.
Because
I know you're not usually a fan of the book
correct.
On tape.
However, in the case of Neil Gaiman, he's a storyteller. Like, yeah, he's a writer, but more than that, he is a storyteller.
Yep.
And even if, you know, we haven't spent, you know, some time in the pleasure of his company, you know, that it just brings something even extra to it, and it helps that the voice that he's speaking in really matches the voice that you hear when you read it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I have really been enjoying that.
Sure. The only recommendation I'll make, since we're running low on time, there is a critic, the TV critic named Alan Siepenwall, who writes for the Star Ledger of Northern New Jersey. And he also has a website called What's Alan Watching, which he's this incredibly prolific reviewer and writer. And if you are a pop culture junkie, more specifically like a television show junkie, such as myself, he's constantly posting reviews of shows. And in the summer, he posts reviews of past shows. He's working his way through Sports Night and season 2 of The Wire this summer. Among other things. And he's just a wonderful writer. You know, you're not just reading, here's what happened in this episode. It's genuinely interesting, critical thinking about, you know, the show and what it's trying to say and such. And if you are a person who likes such things, you can do far, far worse than reading Alan Sepinwall's stuff. It's Sepinwall, sepinwall.blogspot.com. Very worthwhile reading.
Okay, we are sort of taking the summer off. Should we announce the thing that we've...
Sure, even though there's not a quote-unquote contract, I think it's going to happen likeliest enough that we can say on August 28th, we expect to be at Jam and Java in... where the hell is it in Virginia?
Virginia.
Vienna. Not
Northern
Fairfax,
Virginia.
Vienna. Northern Virginia. We're going to be at PAX, Penny Arcade Expo, the weekend of Labor Day, September 4th through 6th. And a bunch of other places come fall.
Okay. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, this may be our longest podcast yet, actually. We're at 30, almost 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed we didn't get to this one topic, though.
I know. Well, we'll get to it next week.
Okay.
I promise. Save it. Because I wanted to get to it, too, but I spent so damn long talking about my frickin' iPhone.
Yeah, boring. God.
Boring. But we'll get there. So go to paulandstorm.com to find all the stuff.
And please do join the Brigade of Minions. We'll have to think of something for the Minions to do again pretty soon.
Yeah.
Until we do, I'm Storm.
And I am Paul.
And we have been talking about some stuff 4 or 5 to 10 minutes on average.
Oh, you did the on average part.
Oh, you can do it again.
On average. Here's Nemo right here.
Go do things.